Accession number 27070, Reel 5.
Douglas Gerard, Reel 5. So, on VE Day, you were where?
On VE Day, I was returning from leave. I had, with my tank driver, Ken Lloyd, we had been sent on leave. We were overdue for leave. And it was just before the end of the war. So we were on the way back to the unit when the day before VE Day, we passed through London. Everybody was going mad on that day. And caught the train and were heading back to the unit. We passed through, or we got held up on the train at a town in France, in northern France. Again, I just can't think of the name of the town, but it was a big town in France. And while we were in the town, in this train, standing up, we heard that the VE Day had been announced. So I was in a train in this town in France. Couldn't do anything about it. But the time...
What were your feelings on hearing that news?
Well, we were very relieved. Everybody was very happy. And he did have a bottle of beer in his packs. We shared that. But by the time we got back to the unit, which was up in North Germany somewhere, all the celebrations had taken place and everything was back to normal. So I never saw the celebrations or indulged in the celebrations after 6 years of war. Yeah. Nothing at all, except half a bottle of beer.
Yeah. So you were in Berlin?
Yes, and eventually from there we went back to this place in North Germany, where we had been before, because there were some army barracks there. Uh-huh. And while we were there, not doing anything very much, a friend of mine, who I was with through the war, from Cheltenham, who was a radio amateur, and therefore we had a lot in common in interest, said he'd been listening on the amateur bands on one of the army sets, 19 set, on 7 megahertz, I think, and he'd found there were some amateurs working, probably Americans in various areas of the country, because amateur radio, of course, was stopped on the outbreak of war. But we heard these amateurs operating, and in Morse, of course, and he said we ought to have a little go at this, so we did, in fact, answer one of the calls, and we had quite a number of contacts with amateurs throughout Europe, Italy, Germany, even England. And we got quite fascinated with this, so we were pirate amateur radio operators.
So what were they talking about?
Well, you exchange where you are, your name, not a lot, but really, but it was just an exchange of information about the weather, you know, that you might do when you first meet, and without giving any secrets away. But it was one way of passing the time. So we were about to leave there, but because we were both interested in radio, we had collected bits of radio apparatus, components and what have, which we'd stored away in our kit, and he had acquired a lovely little German communication receiver, which was obviously used by the army or whatever, battery operated, and he got that away in his kit as well. So eventually, when we left the unit, we were sent with several other sergeants, all friends of ours, to be part of the permanent staff of the transit camp at Dieppe, where we would see young soldiers coming in and old soldiers going home. So this was a job which depended on the turn of the tides. So you might be doing it in the middle of the night, or you might be doing it at any time because of when the boats came and went. So that was very nice, but we had a lot of spare time. So he and I decided we would build a radio station, which we did. And he'd got this receiver, and we built a little transmitter, and we built various other things, and we put up an aerial from some old telephone wire that was lying about, and we had a lot of contacts. And I had one contact with a Swiss amateur. Now, they were legitimate. They didn't suspend their licenses because they were not in the war anyway. So I had this contact with this Swiss operator, and I contacted him several times. In the end, I sent him a card, and which is what amateurs do, with our call sign on it, which I won't go into, and then a picture of my friend's Challenger tank photographed on the forecourt of the Olympic Stadium in Berlin. And I sent him this, and he sent me a letter. He said he'd received it and thanked me and all, and told me what he was doing and so on. After the war, when I had my own call sign, which was G3BCC, not BBC, G3BCC, I listened for him for years and years and years. Never heard him until one day when I was here, I heard him, and he was in contact with a friend of mine from Cheltenham. And I was going to contact him, but he changed frequency and I lost him. But two or three days later, I heard him again, and I contacted him. It's in Morse. And I asked him if he remembered contacting the station I was with operating and receiving a card with a picture of a tank on it and a regimental badge. No, divisional badge. The Desert Rat.
Yes.
Desert Rat. And he came straight back and said, yes, I have it in front of me now. And he sent me a photocopy of it, of the card that I'd sent him.
Yeah.
So that was what we were doing at the end of the war, a bit of amateur radio.
Yeah, and the Dieppe transit camp, I mean, there were military personnel going home.
Yes, oh yes.
Coming out.
Yes,
yeah.
Oh yes, lots of them.
Yeah, so quite a busy place to...
It was, really. Yes, yeah.
How anxious were you to get home?
Well, we knew that this was the end of the line. If they were getting rid of us out of the regiment, because obviously we were going to be demobbed anyway, they would give us a job to do, and they'd take on younger people, you see.
Yeah.
So that's how it went.
Yeah, and were you anxious to be demobbed? I mean, you were...
Oh, yes, I'd had enough of it then. I'd been in since 1939, and we were coming up to 1946.
Yes, yeah. And so... Eventually, you got your demob papers.
Yes, we came home.
Where were you actually demobbed?
I was somewhere. Oh, God.
Sorry.
I can't. The brain doesn't work properly at my age, and I know all these places.
Yeah. What was the experience like? Was it.
Demobbing, there was nothing special about it. I picked up a suit, I suppose, a demob suit,
uh-huh.
And a hat. Demob suit and a hat. And did I take a coat? No, I think I kept my army greatcoat.
Uh-huh. Did you get any advice about getting work, or did anyone ask
no,
you were going
no,
to do?
No, nothing like that. Nothing, no. Actually, when I was in North Africa, near Benghazi, guarding this area, I took a correspondence course, which was offered to us, on electronics, because I thought when I get back I might want to change my job. So I did this electronics first of all, I had to go through the maths, and then I started on electronics, and by this time they moved us back to England for the invasion, so that brought that to an end. But the mathematics came in useful when the kids went to school and were asking me about various things. Having done a refresher course in maths, I was able to help them.
Yeah. So you came back to Cheltenham, didn't you?
I came back, and my job was waiting for me.
Right. Yeah. Went there and stayed there.
Yes, yeah.
What do you think your time in the army actually taught you? How did you develop during those years?
I don't know, really. I met so many people, Cheltenham chaps I made friends with, I didn't know before the war, but after the war, through the war and after the war, we were still friendly. It was the great friendships that sprung up because of the war and what we'd been through, and helped each other and enjoyed each other's company, that even until just recently, we used to meet after the war, 8 or 9 of us. They've all now died, apart from 2, and I still meet them. One is my tank driver, by the way. And he was diving a tank in the big battle in North Africa when we were scattering about all over the place, and he collided, when he was reversing, collided with my tank, hell of a bang, stalled his engine, and they thought they'd been knocked out. They started to bail out, and when they saw me put my head out of the top, they all got back in and drove away. So that's one of the incidents of the war that that I remember, plus the night on the landing craft when I didn't get any sleep and my tank driver did. These are the things I remember about the war.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. Well, it's been a fascinating story.
Well, it's been a long one. I shouldn't have gone on so much.
No, it can never be too long. That was excellent. Thank you very much indeed for that. And I'll say Douglas Gerrard, end of reel 5.